To Matthew chapter 4. All right, Matthew chapter 4, we're going to read verses 1 through 11 together. We're going to read this passage responsively, and then we're going to turn to one other verse in a moment here. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. You ready? And I'm going to speed it up just a hair. I'm going to try to get us right out on time, so I have 35 and a half minutes. You ready? Here we go. Then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written, Again thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And let's read verse 11 together. Ready? Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. Now turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. And I want you to kind of either keep your finger or a piece of paper in 1 Peter 3, because we're going to come back to it in a little while. And this will all finally come together here in just a few moments. 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to look at one more verse. Verse number 22. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 22. And let's read this verse in unison together. Ready? Has everybody got it? All right, here we go. Who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers be made subject unto him. Now, keep your finger there, and we are going to start. Let me be totally honest with you for a moment. I grew up in church. Brother Mike, I thank God I have my testimony. I thank God that I've been, I'm 51 years old, been in church for almost 52 years. I went to church for 9 months before they hatched me. I've been in church my whole life. I have preached this book for 38 years. As of August 1st, I will have been preaching 38 full years. Surrendered to preach July 31st, 1980, and I preached my first sermon August 1st, 1980. I love my youth director. I surrendered to preach. He said, Good, you're preaching tomorrow. I got baptized by fire. Amen. I have studied this book. I promise you, I have read it hundreds of times from cover to cover. I have spent untold tens of thousands of hours in this book. And let me say this, these are God's words. Amen. I don't question God's words. But let me also say, there are passages sometimes that you just accept by faith because it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Sorry. At least I do. Some of these things don't always make as much sense to me as I think it should. This passage has been that way for an awfully long time to me. I've accepted it for what it says, but I've not understood its depth. Does that make sense? Now, everybody think about this for a second. This is called the temptation of Jesus. Then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, listen to this. First thing the devil asked him to do is make stones into bread. That doesn't sound real sinful, does it? Now, most of you ladies have turned bread into stone. But turning stones into bread's a little different. Then he said, go up on the pinnacle of the temple, jump off, and the angels, command the angels to catch you so that you don't hurt yourself.
that doesn't really sound like anything sinful, does it? Then he took him up into the high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, if you'll just bow down and worship me, I'll give you all this.
Now, I say that to say, okay, I can see just doing what the devil said is sin, no problem. But it didn't quite understand its depth. Temptation. We have the idea that temptation is something that draws us into something wicked, vile, evil, something sensual. But that's not what temptation always is about. Temptation is the line between right and wrong. Temptation is the line between what God wants and whatever else is out there. It's not always something that would be sinful. Does that make sense to everybody? It's just contrary to what God wants. Now, listen very carefully. Temptation is the allurement to draw you across that line. Here in Matthew 4, Jesus is in the wilderness, tempted by the devil. By the way, temptation is not sin. Yielding to the temptation is what sinfulness is. There is nothing about temptation itself that is sinful. Yielding to it is. Jesus was tempted. And if we casually look at this, we say, what was so tempting about turning rocks to bread, jumping off the temple and having the angels catch you and seeing all the kingdoms of the world and wanting the power to run them? Doesn't sound super duper hard for Jesus to resist, does it? You're talking about the Son of God. Now, let me say this. We know it couldn't have been an easy thing. Why would the devil take his best shot,
maybe his one and only shot, at the very Son of God and make it something so simple? Do you ever think about that? Why would the devil, when he knows he's only got one crack at it, or in this case three, at one time, three strikes, you're out. Why would he just throw a slow pitch in there? He's not just going to lob an underhand throw there. He's going to rear back and fire. How were these things tempting to Jesus? Obviously, they were big temptations. Take your Bible where you were in 1 Peter 3, and I want to show you something. The Lord gave this to me recently, and I just about had a spell. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 22. Now, in verse 21, we find out this is in reference to Jesus. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now not save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, continuing statement, who is gone into heaven. And so this is in reference to Jesus, correct? Who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. Watch this. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Wow. I got to reading that, and the Lord said, hey, remember Matthew chapter 4? I opened up my Bible to Matthew 4. I went back. Everybody listen to me. Do you know what Jesus' duties in heaven are? He is at the right hand of the throne of God right now, and he is in charge of angels and authorities and powers. Those are Jesus' three duties in heaven as of right now, and probably were before. It does it not say who is at the right hand of the throne of God, angels and powers, or angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Subject, that means he rules over that, correct? All right. Now, when you couple that with Matthew chapter 4, we find angels, we find powers, and we find authorities. Let me show you what I mean. Number one, turning the stones into bread. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse number 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." That word is the word powers. The word powers is the word miracles. Jesus is in charge of the miracles that take place. The word power, if you look it up in the Greek, literally means miracles or miraculous power. Wouldn't you say turning stones to be bread would be a miracle? Hmm. In other words, that's why Jesus said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." See, what was it? The devil was trying to get Jesus to use his authority at a time when God did not want it used. Right. Use it when he wanted it. Do what Jesus wanted, not what God wanted. Just like the temptation, you could be like God, knowing good and evil. You can decide for yourself when to do this. And the devil was tempting him, taunting him. "You think you got enough power? See if you can turn those stones to bread." Jesus knew all he had to do was speak the word and it could happen. So all he had to do is speak and it would have been done. But the word power, miracle power, wondrous works, there was no need for the miracle to take place other than to prove to the devil that Jesus was who he said he was. There was no purpose for the miracle. Nobody was going to be helped by it. Nobody was going to be strengthened by it. Nobody was going to be fed by it. By the way, he turned 5 loaves and 2 fishes into feeding 5,000. He'd already proved that he could multiply bread, but that was for a purpose to feed people so that they'd listen to the gospel. You have the first filet of fish sandwiches. Amen? Can I tell you something? Jesus doesn't do miracles just to prove how powerful he is. That's why your faith healers, your healers, feelers, and squealers of today are wrong. Because all they want to do is show you what they are. Doesn't do any good for anybody else. This temptation was a matter of power. The purpose of miracles were to get the gospel out and to change people's lives, not just to do something miraculous. Everybody listen to this for a second. How many of you know, and it's not as big these days as it was about 30, 35, 40 years ago, the faith healers. You all know what I'm talking about? You know, be healed in the name of Jesus. Oh, my gizzard's feeling better. Or my gout's gone. Whatever. Do you ever wonder why they don't go to the hospital and do these things? Do you ever wonder why somebody is sick anywhere in the world? If you had that ability, don't you think you'd heal everybody? Who's the guy out in, was it Oklahoma? What's the guy's name? What was it? No, not Ernest Angley. The guy had a hospital. Maybe it was Texas. Yeah, Oral Roberts. That's it. Yeah, no, that's Orville Redenbacher. No, Oral Roberts. There's too many jokes about that. I got to be careful. Anyway, especially in these days. Quit it. Get me off track here. Oral Roberts had a hospital. Well, he was a faith healer. If he was a faith healer, what did he need a hospital for? And yet people sent millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars to him, and he ended up in jail for tax evasion and money laundering and other things. Why? He couldn't heal anybody. No one but Jesus would have benefited from the miracle that the devil was asking him to do. we often get selfish in wanting God to do miracles just for us. Sometimes God's not going to give you a miracle just because you want it. There are times that miracle is needed for the propagation of the gospel so more people can be helped and more lives to be changed. We often unjustly expect God to do what we want because we want it so badly. The disciples were angry at Jesus because he didn't heal Lazarus and go in and heal Lazarus first. They saw the need for healing. He saw the need for resurrection. They were upset that he himself died. But he knew what was coming 3 days and three nights later.
Yes, sir.
Now, I gotta keep moving here, but it may be even for someone else, but it may not be what's best. Satan challenged Jesus' ability to perform a miracle, but the miracle wasn't needing to be performed. Would it be a miracle that God preserved Brother Stoltz's life and he wouldn't have gone to heaven? Maybe. But I wonder what good is going to take place and how much more good could be taking place because of how much Brother Stoltz invested in so many people and how many people are going to step up and become soul winners and step up and serve God and step up and walk with God and reach more people and multiply what he could have done versus just letting him do it while he was here. Amen. So, the word powers in 1 Peter 3:22, it is the word miracles. You have the miracle that Jesus was tempted with to turn the stones to bread. Number two. Then in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 5, the devil taketh him up into a holy city, setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, watch this, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Remember back in 1 Peter chapter 3, who sat down on the right hand of the throne of God, and angels and powers and authorities are subject unto thee. Angels. The key word to Matthew chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, is the word angels, not jumping off the pinnacle of the temple. He said, didn't God give thee charge of the angels that thou shouldest not dash thy foot against a stone? You're not even going to have to stub your toe. Can I tell you something? Listen to this. One of Jesus' responsibilities was the charge of the angels. By the way, Lucifer knew that because he was one of them. He was an archangel. He was to be under Jesus' authority. That's why he tries to mimic Jesus. That's why he will be the Antichrist. Do you ever notice what the devil tries to do is impersonate Christ towards evil? Very interesting. Now, listen to this very carefully. Jesus was not to have the angels just do anything he wanted. They were there to obey God and do what God wanted.
Right.
Satan tempted Jesus by saying, you can take the lead. You don't need God the Father telling you what to do. You just make them do what you want them to do. Do you remember why, about 3 years after this, Jesus is hanging on a cross, Brother Wiley, and one of the thieves says, if you be the Son of God, why don't you have the angels come down and take us off this cross? Because it wasn't the angels' time to do that. Jesus wasn't supposed to command them to do whatever he wanted them to do. The angels were not slaves. They were not there just at his beck and call to do whatever he wanted. By the way, Jesus was God. But his position dictated that he follow what God the Father wanted. Everybody doing okay? Now watch this. The angels were not Jesus' personal assistants to do whatever he wanted them to do. They were there for a purpose. Let me put it down to where we live. We're not supposed to boss people around as our personal assistants. Maybe I shouldn't. If you're guilty of this, I have no idea. But we're not supposed to be King Tut sitting on our throne telling everybody what to do and go get me this and go do that and go do this and go do that and why didn't you do that and why didn't you do that. We're supposed to be leaders and lead people, not dictators telling people what to do, not slave drivers. We're to lead people, not just make them do what we want. I reared three kids. Do you know my kids are not there to serve me? I was there to serve my children. I was there to train my children so that when they got old enough, I didn't have to take care of them anymore. I was to teach them to feed themselves. They learned that one quite well. I was to teach them how to use the washroom. Thank God they learned that well. I was to teach them how to wash their clothes, wash their bodies, how to shake hands, how to get along with people, how to hold a job, how to work hard. It wasn't that they were there to serve me. It was me putting something into them so that when they left my wife and I's watch care, they were able to function, and I was to take the dependence they had on me so that they would depend on God to do what God wanted them to do when they were out of my sight. Everybody understand that? They're not my slaves. To this day, I don't look at my daughter while she's home this summer, hey, go do this for me. If I would like her to do something, I'll say, can you do such and such? I ask her. She's 20 years old. She doesn't have to do what daddy says. If she wants another dress, she might. No. but she doesn't have to. She's not there to, I don't say, now, you make sure you did this. Did you got the dishes done. You do this. Do you know I still help with the dishes? Usually, and she's been working 2 and 3 jobs this summer. I'm not too good to help rinse the dishes off and put them in the dishwasher. I can handle that. I help mess them up by eating, amen. I'm not above that. I'm not above cleaning. We're not to dictate people to serve us. Jesus did not dictate the angels. He was not there to prove how much power he had and authority over the angels. Did you ever notice? Lucifer, Satan, led a rebellion of angels against Jesus. Don't you think Jesus would want to get back at the devil for that? Can't you imagine there would be a little vengeance involved there? So they could say, na 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 na, on you. You say, oh, I think there's a little bit of that with God. But he didn't need to. So he did not yield to that temptation. I got to hurry, number 3. Then, Matthew chapter 4, look at verse number 8. Again, the devil taketh him into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give who? Thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now watch this. All the kingdoms of the world. That is the word. Let's see here. You have powers. That's authority. That is the word magistrate. Just like you have the magistrate's court. That is the, it's the word delegated powers. 1 Corinthians says, the God of this world. Did you know that Jesus is the King of Kings, but he has not set his kingdom up here yet?
That's right.
Did you know who runs the powers and governments and authorities of the world today? The devil. That's why Hillary's still around. The word authority is the word magistrate or delegated powers. And the devil said, look, I'll give you all this. I'll give you the glory of it even if you just bow down and worship me. I can imagine Jesus saying, I'm going to set up my kingdom down here one of these days. I don't need you to give it to me. But I can see where it would be tempting to the flesh. How many times have you turned down a big job promotion because it wouldn't be best for your family? I know people that have moved all over the country out of God's will just for a job promotion. Lose their family and get all crosswise with God because they moved because their company promoted them, but God didn't. I'm not saying it's the wrong thing to do to move if the company's going to move you, but you better make sure it's God's will. I'd rather stay at the pay level I'm at in God's will than get more pay out of God's will. Jesus is going to be the King of Kings someday. By the way, turn to Ephesians chapter 6 for a second. Ephesians chapter 6. I want to show you something here. Look at verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Against what? Powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Jesus took him to an exceeding high mountain. Showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Goes with Ephesians 6:12. The devil is the one. Brother Scott, I doubt you've ever faced the devil face to face. Not even your mother-in-law. All right? Met her Wednesday. She's a nice lady. All right? Can I tell you something? Most of us blame the devil for things that the devil didn't do.
Right. Put it there.
Most of us have never really done battle with the actual devil. You're no match for him. The Bible says the devil deals in powers, principalities, and spiritual wickedness in high places. He's dealing with governments. Not necessarily a government leader, but a governmental system. Communism, socialism, humanism. He deals in religion, Mohammedism, and Islam, and all the false religions, Catholicism, man's religion. He deals with those to deceive people. That's where the temptations come. Everybody understand that? I doubt the nail you got in your tire or when you stubbed your toe at 3 in the morning when you got up last night or the mouse bit your toe. I doubt that that was actually the devil. All right? I didn't say who, Brother Harry. I doubt that that's the devil. Those are things that happen. Did you know that the devil's not concerned about your tire? He's not concerned to make you late for work. He doesn't care if you're late or on time. He really doesn't. He doesn't care if you poked your neighbor in the nose. Well, the devil made me do it. No, the devil didn't make you do it. Your flesh did. Okay. Period, end of discussion. See, the devil tempts people with power. That's why politicians corrupt so quickly. That's right. The only mistake that we have in the Constitution of the United States of America is we had men of character, men of godly character, who understood their role in politics was not career, it was to serve for a small portion of time and get out.
Right.
They did not set up a safeguard for term limits for everybody.
Right.
And it was because we had men of character who said, I'll quit my business, I have enough wealth to quit my business for a few years, and I'll go serve 2 years in the House. Or I'll go serve 6 years in the Senate. Or I'll go serve 4 years as a president. and they could quit their business, like our current president did, go serve a country, bring to it the business ideals and performance that he had in his business, bring it to our country and help our country grow, get in, get it done, get out, and get back to his business. That's what politics was supposed to be about. It never has been intended to be a career. We could cut our budget an awful lot by getting rid of these fat cat politicians and all of their perks and their retirement benefits and all the retirement packages and everything else. There should be no retirement for any politician.
Amen.
Wasn't set up for you to make it a career.
That's right.
Think there ought to be a 2-term limit in the House and a 1-term limit in the Senate or any combination thereof. No more than 3 terms, no matter how you look at it. I think it's fair. I think it's right. Sure does take care of, if you only have a 2-year term in the House, well, you're going to be politicking to get reelected for one of those 2 years. So you really only got, you got paid for 2 years and did 1 year's worth of work, and they take about 4 months a year off because of all their vacations. They have spring vacation, they have summer vacation, they have fall vacation, they have winter vacation. They take a month off at a time. And then they don't do anything while they're there. You see, look at how wealthy people can corrupt so easily. They get so used to power that they get addicted to the power. Not every wealthy person is addicted to power. I know wealthy people that are not addicted to power. But they'll tell you wealth can bring a power with it that is addicting. They really can. You take people of high position. That's why you got the Nancy Pelosi's and the Chuck E. Schumer's and who's the Maxine Waters. They think they're hot snot on a silver platter. Nothing but a cold booger on a paper plate and a sinner like everybody else. And some of them worse. The press, they think they know it all. Do you know the average person that works in the news media today has less than a 2-year scholar or 2-year degree from any college? And they're supposed to be the experts? I know enough about the news media. Did you ever see a cameraman for the news media or any cameraman? They're all a bunch of long-haired maggot weirdos. They really are. You can tell a cameraman that far away. They're a bunch of maggots. We're not to seek power. We're not to seek position. We're not to seek authority. Can I tell you something? Don't be a position seeker. Be a God seeker. Jesus wasn't seeking a position. Oh, by the way, he'll come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He didn't need to give in to the devil. But can you see where that would have been tempting? I can run this place better than he can. My people wouldn't have to be suffering as long, but for him to do it, it was not in God's timing and it was not right. Don't abuse the power you have. If you're a parent, don't abuse your power. If you're a student or an older brother or sister, don't abuse your power. Let's bring it down to where we really live. I'm going to turn this way. If you have a driver's license, don't abuse your power.
What's wrong with you?
Now we went to meddling, amen? Can I tell you something? We abuse our power and then get mad at the people that are trying to enforce their power. It doesn't make any sense at all to me. Well, you're supposed to give me a certain amount of speed limit over the speed limit. No, the speed limit's a speed limit. Doesn't matter. I'm done. You can't handle anymore. The temptation of Jesus was not just these 3 things. Jesus had every right to be mad at the devil for what he had done. It was a personal issue. Jesus decided he would not exercise that. I'm sure Jesus wanted to smash old Smutty Face right square in the teeth. Imagine he would have liked in his flesh to have said, I can do that. But it wasn't right. You see, he threw a challenge out to him. Just because somebody challenges you doesn't mean you always take it. Our pride gets in the way. Let me prove to you I can do it. Man, I got myself more trouble over that kind of mess than any other thing. Everybody listen to this statement. Life is not a competition. Can I tell you why our young people are so inflated with pride? Sports. Competition. You know, my wife and I don't compete. We're a team. We're not on opposing teams. Now, if we go miniature golfing or something, I'm going to win. I might have to cheat, but I'm going to win. I went golfing twice when I was in Florida with my son. And he's learning to golf. And I said, Josh, quit worrying about it. I said, if you win, great. If you don't, who cares? I said, we're not in competition. Let's just have fun. I said, we're going to keep score, but we're not going to compete. And we didn't. Can I tell you something? Life isn't competition. That's pride. You lose your temper because you lost a game. Quit being so proud. Get on your knees and ask God to forgive you. Why are we in competition? Why do we have to see who can do more? I'm in competition with nobody. I'm here to obey God and do what he said in that book right there. Right. That's what the temptation was all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I wonder how many times you've been tempted and gave in because it was something you wanted over something God wanted.